But first to the war in Ukraine and President Donald Trump's new 28-point plan to end the fighting. It's been drafted by the White House after discussions with the Kremlin, and it calls on Ukraine to hand over territory which it already holds to Russia. The plan also apparently calls for Ukraine to cut its armed forces in half and to relinquish certain weapons, most notably perhaps its long-range missiles capable of hitting Russia. President Volodymyr Zelensky, in an address to the nation, said his country was facing a very difficult choice and one of the most difficult moments in our history. Let's talk to Constance Stelzenmüller of the Brookings Institute. Thanks for joining us on ABC Radio National. Constance, I suspect many analysts will look at this plan and think Christmas has come early for Vladimir Putin, and this is something of a diplomatic gift from the Trump White House. What do you make of it?
If I were to summarize it somewhat flippantly, I would say a mixture of stupid and evil. So it's the stupid part is it is very badly drafted. It's like a sort of Frankentext that clearly some analysts are saying this sounds like it was translated from the Russian. It's not completely coherent and so on. But the general thrust of the text is while there are a couple of things that aren't quite the maximalist of demands that we have heard from the Russians so far, on the whole, it is devastatingly pro-Russian. And what's even more important for your listeners to understand is that it goes well beyond undercutting, terminally, I think, the sovereignty of Ukraine, but it also really attempts to drive an enormous wedge into NATO and de-Americanize NATO and really install Russia as the apex power in Europe in many ways.
Yeah, Vladimir Putin has backed the US plan. Why wouldn't he? It says it can form the basis of a final peace settlement. Do we know if Russia is being asked for any meaningful concessions?
Well, not really, I would say. I mean, they wanted to have they're now being offered a Ukrainian army that goes down from about 800,000 to 600,000. Apparently, they wanted an even smaller one. And they wanted more Ukrainian governance reforms. But the core concessions in here are all pro-Russian, and they are so significant as to undercut the political legitimacy of President Zelensky completely and to demoralize the Ukrainians. Most importantly, I think, if the Ukrainians were indeed to concede the entirety of the Donetsk region, which is the most fortified part of their front line, the much less fortified parts of central Ukraine would be Russia's for the taking whenever Russia regrouped.
Donald Trump has said that Thursday is an appropriate deadline for Volodymyr Zelensky to decide whether to accept this deal or not.
Thursday,
yeah.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, which sounds pretty cynical.
Yeah, it does sound like the White House is putting him under an awful lot of pressure here.
Yes, I mean, and Trump apparently, has said, or at least that's how the Washington Post quotes him, that Ukraine will lose in a short period of time. That is not what serious military analysts are saying. And I've been talking to those. So that's simply a misrepresentation of the facts on the ground. And I think, frankly, it is now up to the Europeans to rally behind Zelensky and the Ukrainians and to say, this is not on, particularly since this agreement promises the Russians things, not just concessions, not just from Ukraine, but also from Europeans. It promises, for example, that the Europeans should contribute $100 million to Ukrainian reconstruction, and that there would be no European forces stationed in Ukraine, which effectively scotches European debates about a security force in Western Ukraine. And it also, there is a notable little passage that says European fighters are to be stationed in Poland, which suggests no American fighters to be stationed in Poland, right? In other words, that's a reduction of the commitment to Poland, an important NATO ally, which holds for whom the bilateral relationship to America is holy.
Ukraine has not been involved in the formulation of this plan. European nations have not been involved in the formulation of the plan. As you've said, the Europeans were pushing for an international stabilization force, boots on the ground in Ukraine, that would be a security guarantee. And there's no mention of that. For the Europeans, this is a
huge... There is an additional paper suggesting a security guarantee, which has also been cited in the media. But that, again, is formulated in such a way as to leave very significant loopholes. It promises an Article 5, so mutual defense clause-like response, as in the NATO treaty, in which America would be involved. But it very carefully defines that as only in the case of significant, deliberate, and sustainable. So I suppose little green men would not fall under that, for example, or sort of slicing and dicing underneath the level of the full-place, you know, full-fledged tank attack. So again, that's very carefully drafted, that bit.
We've been asking this question all year, Constance. Can Ukraine defend itself without US assistance and relying more on European allies? Is there a scenario whereby Ukraine can break with the United States and the European countries can say to Washington, it's a hard no on this peace plan, even at the risk of fracturing the transatlantic alliance? Is there a possibility that that sort of scenario could now unfold?
Look, that's a very good question. What we haven't mentioned yet is that the US, according to Reuters, is actually threatening to withhold weapons and intelligence should Ukraine not sign by Thanksgiving. And it is true that the Europeans have bought Ukraine and themselves time in the late summer by persuading the American administration, the Trump administration, to allow Europeans to buy weapons that they then give to Ukraine. We Europeans remain dependent on America for the nuclear deterrent and for strategic enablers like satellite intelligence and long-range weapons. I think the moment has now come to understand that there is no time to lose for Europeans to acquire a greater independence in their defense industrial base and in their defense and deterrence capabilities. And that, I think, means facing the fact that we need strategic enablers of our own and need to start building those. So, but the answer to your question is, it would be very, very difficult. But I think that given that, in a way, this 28-point plan is useful because it puts Russian strategic intentions towards Ukraine and Europe out into the open. They're undeniably clear now, and it's especially that Russian aggression and attempts to dominate are not limited to Ukraine, but are in fact directed at all of Europe. I think if that doesn't frighten Europeans into the appropriate reaction, I don't know what would.
It hasn't been a brilliant line with Germany, but you have given us some very clear insights. Constance Stelzer-Müller of the Brookings Institute, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Well, sorry about the quality of the line.
Cheers, Phil.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.